Thanks for listening to Schlereth & Evans On Demand, presented by Bathfitter. Hey guys, if you drop the ball when it comes to your bath or shower remodel, Bathfitter doesn't just fit your bath, they fit your budget and schedule. Bathfitter will install a tub or shower in just one day. Bathfitter's price guarantee is a slam dunk. Bathfitter, it just fits.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
The Avalanche rolling through this road trip, just picking up points and putting the heat on Minnesota for the second spot in the division, putting heat on Dallas for the top spot in the division. They get the win last night and proof that things are starting to roll a little bit. They turn to hardly ever used backup goalie, Jonas Johansson to save the night.
Matheson saves. Drew. One time, a big rebound. Oh, Johansson denies the breakup. And somehow that puck stays out.
TSN in Canada with the call as the Avs get a 5-4 win over Ottawa.
By the way, that was a phenomenal stop with 4 seconds left, and they were humming. Were they on the power play at that point? Or they just pull I think they were on the power play at that point. I tell you what, man, that was not a good save off the rebound. It was a great save. That was one of those, because it would have been 5-5, and it should have gone in. I mean, that should be a score.
Well, it was the back-to-back games were starting to take its toll in that third period.
And not only that, they played the extra 5-minute overtime, and then they had the shootout.
Correct.
So on the first leg of the back-to-back. So big-time victory. Nice to get a big play like that from backup goalie in Johansson.
Yeah, that's a big lift, right? Isn't that a big in the room type lift when you're calling on guys like that to help out, to step in a pinch, and they deliver that? I would think that's a big morale booster.
Is Johansson, he's from California, right?
Why do I feel like you're trying to set a trap here for me?
Johansson.
Yes. Yeah. You know where he is?
Yeah.
He's from La Jolla.
La Jolla. Yeah. Johansson. He's from La Jolla.
That's right.
Or San Jose.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah, one of those things.
All right.
Second down.
The Nuggets beat the Pistons. A monumental win. And not because they just snapped their four-game losing streak that had everybody reaching for the panic button. It was Michael Malone's 400th career win, and the Nuggets clinch the division title.
I think you have to, we're not having a party, but I think you have to enjoy the moment. You know, if you don't, I don't know why you do this. Because if your only joy is winning a championship, you're going to be a miserable person. And I don't want to be that guy. And so we acknowledged it. Obviously, winning the division, that was a goal of ours. You know, we won it 2 years in a row. The last 2 years, we weren't even close. You know, this is not the end goal, but you have to enjoy the steps along the way.
Is it just me? Is it just me Friday? Is it just me or James Merrillat's going to hear that cut from Malone and go, see, he doesn't care about winning NBA championships. He's satisfied with regular season victories. I can just see him twisting
by
that.
By the way, 400th win as a coach, that's pretty big time, right?
That is big time.
That's a milestone. Good for him, man. I'm going to have to give him a congratulations text. Congratulatory text.
Let's do it now.
Let's just get right.
In the meantime,
third down.
You can multitask. Listen to this. The NCAA tournament kicks off, and it only took the first or second game to show everybody why March Madness is beautiful.
The Cavaliers are playing with four guards, and the four guards out there, along with Shedrick, are their best free throw shooters.
Clark in a straight jacket. Oh, he threw it away.
Wow! CBS there with the call. Watching that happen live, honestly, I don't know if I've seen a dumber basketball play.
So hard because they're college kids.
But you learn from a very early age, what to do in your own backcourt like that. And I don't know. And it's Virginia. This is one of the top programs in the country. They won a national championship not too long ago. You think that, you know, you talk about a team that's probably well coached, and in that situation, just completely melting down like that. Total brain cramp.
Man, that's tough. You don't feel bad for the kid.
You
don't ever live that down.
No.
Even Chris Webber, who went on to have a storied NBA career and everything else, it's still something that come this time of year. I guarantee you. Now, I didn't watch the game, but I guarantee you, they had flashback. I know how the TV works, man. They had that cut up. They have that ready to go in the truck. Did they show it? Did they show the Chris Webber timeout?
No, they didn't show it that quickly, but. We're watching ESPN. We got ESPN on right now. I wouldn't be surprised if they make some sort of connection to that.
Sure.
Yeah, you're right about Chris Webber. He had a great NBA career. One of the Fab Five. Yeah. And yet, I bet you if you ask most people who know who Chris Webber is.
Right.
When I say Chris Webber, what do you think of?
Instantly, the first thing that comes to my mind.
I bet you, yeah. Calling a timeout.
Yeah. By the way, we've had... television service the entire show so far.
Uninterrupted.
Uninterrupted.
That's right.
Which is not normal.
Things are getting better.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Fourth down.
Well, you've been right about this all along. And you're like, what? What have I been right about all along?
There's a big surprise.
What do you mean?
Yeah, there is a big surprise.
Well, what do you know? You were right when you said that Seattle really likes Drew Lock.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not enough to give him a chance to be the starter, but they did re-sign him to a one-year deal yesterday as their backup.
$4 million.
Yeah.
$4 million.
Good for Drew, man.
Dude, $4 million for Drew Lock.
I hate Drew Lock.
Who was that?
That's the Seattle guy.
Oh.
Oh, that's Rex Ryan?
That's Rex Ryan.
I hate Drew Lock.
Well, that's kind of harsh, Rex.
Jeez.
I'm not into Drew Lock.
Well, that's Colin Cowherd.
That's Colin. Well, Seattle likes him.
Yeah.
$4 million.
Good for Drew. Good for Seattle. I think I should hate Seattle a lot more than I do.
You like Pete.
I do like.
You like Pete.
Even though Pete's squirrely.
Yeah. I think you like
him. I mean, squirrely. I'm not. That sounds like such a derogatory term. I mean, Pete's awesome. But, you know, if Pete's got his mind on other things, Pete's doing Pete things.
But I think you like that. I think you like the idea, the unpredictability of Pete. What am I going to get when I walk into this room?
Right, always
doing a Seattle game. I have no idea what to expect. Like most coaches, you walk in, you know they're going to get the canned responses, the fake, hey, good to see you, man. How you doing? But with Pete, you genuinely don't know. Is he going to be in a great mood today, or is he going to be an absolute Richard Nine today?
Right. Is he just going to have his mind on other things, and he's just going to be completely disengaged, or he could come in there and be the most engaged dude ever and just lay it out for you?
Yeah.
You just don't. It is. It's like a box of chocolates. You get one. It's got chocolate and caramel or caramel, depending on where you came from. Mm-hmm. Maybe some almonds in there, and it is delicious.
No, don't like almonds. No.
Okay, just chocolate and caramel. You don't like turtles?
I don't like candy with nuts in it. Not a fan.
How about candy with D's in it?
D's?
D's nuts!
I knew exactly what
gave that up.
I know,
me.
And I wanted to.
You just wanted.
I wanted to hear it. Yeah,
you just wanted. I
knew exactly where I was going.
Oh, I appreciate you for that. That was you taking one for the team.
Yeah, that was just me. Let's do this. Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah, I think. No, I knew exactly where I was going, but I want to hear it.
I want to see that childlike grin come across your face.
It surprises me. Like,
you're
kind of shaped like a turtle.
Yeah.
Right? I'm surprised you don't like turtles.
Nope.
He's got a point.
I know.
When you wax your back for the boys' weekend, if you paint
the manzillion.
Right. If you painted it green, people would try to throw you back into the lake. They would think, uh-oh, this turtle needs help.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Is it just me Friday, where we give you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest. We'll get to those. Plus, Yesterday was a golden anniversary, and we'll relive it next.
When the day is done, the game is over, and you need a break from all the stress. Relax in your tub or shower from Bathfitter. Bathfitter will fit your budget with a price match guarantee. No money down, no payments for up to 5 years. Get the ball rolling. Visit bathfitter.com today.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning to all you great 7 a.m. listeners. 7 a.m. listeners are, they're like the middle child. You know, do you kind of affiliate more with the 6 a.m. listeners? Are you more of the characteristics of an 8 a.m. listener? Nobody wants to be associated with the 8 a.m. listeners. Although I just got a text from somebody who said, shattered my back 3 months ago and back to work remodeling and doing tile work. I'm an 8 a.m. listener and proud of it. And he sent a picture of his scar down his back.
Yeah, not good.
Even you were.
I can't look
squeamish.
At that stuff. I don't like to look at that stuff. I really don't. By the way, is it fair to say that okay, so 6 a.m. listeners, they get up before the alarm goes off. 7 a.m. listeners get off when the alarm goes up.
Okay. Off. I see where you're going.
8 a.m. listeners hit the snooze 6 times.
Or don't even have an alarm. And they just get up whenever.
Right. Whenever. Yeah.
I think that's right. I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
I think you nailed it. 5 years ago, yesterday. 5 years ago, yesterday, we were all treated to this.
We got our guy. We got the guy that was our target. I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness, John. Good old Case Keenum.
Welcome to Bronco land.
We got him. It's our guy.
Yeah.
Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, when I think back over these last 6 years, there are those certain benchmark moments that stand out in this road to nowhere. And one of them is that game against Kansas City here, Monday night game, where
Keenum misses
DT.
DT.
Just drop it in
right
there, dude.
In the turkey hole.
Drop it in there. It's a throw that high school starting quarterbacks can make. Just drop it in there, dude. You beat the Chiefs. It's a walk-off touchdown. You beat the Chiefs. Who knows? Honestly, who knows how that changes the trajectory of Case Keenum here, the Broncos, all that stuff.
Keenum, there's the interception.
We should have known it wasn't going to go well when John introduced him as Keenum.
Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
Yeah. There just should have been that game show sound after that. Go, wah, 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 wah. He just sulks up there.
Sorry, folks. I suck.
But I've written a book about my career. Check it out. I'll be at the tattered cover.
That's right.
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum.
I still can't believe you don't like nuts in your candy.
No, not a fan of pecans, almonds.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, you like that other stuff, that kind of that bofa, that stuff, that bofa stuff?
Bofa?
Bofa needs to And, it never gets old.
Everybody's laughing at that one.
Even Zach.
Zach loves it. Kawhi loves it.
Okay, wait.
Sports. Drew Goodman loves it.
By the way, happy St. Patty's Day.
Oh, yeah. Today's St. Patrick's Day. Yeah. Oh. You know, every St. Patrick's Day that comes around, I am reminded by somebody on the text line. I haven't heard, I haven't got it yet, but somebody's going to remind me of when I did one of the all-time great radio bits.
Right.
In Denver sports history.
You got absolutely hammered.
I got absolutely S-faced on the air. Because, so it was one of those things that we're like, let's have some fun. It'll be a great radio bit, but it'll actually kind of help serve as a bit of a public service, too. So, I don't know if it's changed. I doubt it's changed. But St. Patrick's Day ranks only second to
Easter.
No.
Yeah.
To New Year's Eve when it comes to binge drinking.
Oh, okay, okay.
All right?
I thought we were talking about
no.
eating eggs.
No.
Okay.
So it ranks only behind New Year's Eve when it comes to binge drinking. So we had the bright idea. Hey, let's show people, because I was doing the mornings at that point with the legendary Dave Otto.
Oh, yeah.
And so the idea was, let's show people what it's like, the effects of binge drinking.
Mm.
And you'll be able to hear it.
It's kind of like a public service.
So that way, when you go out that night or afternoon for St. Patrick's Day, hey, maybe you'll remember what happened to Evans.
Right.
And it'll keep you in check a little bit, right? So over the course of a show, I started off by doing... So I started drinking at 5:30.
Okay.
And we had a police officer in here.
Okay.
Michelle Grove's husband, Nick. So he was going to check my blood alcohol content throughout the course of the show. I started out with three kamikaze shots at 5:30. 5:30 between 5:30 and 6.
You just started. Oh, I did three right. Okay.
I did like three in a half an hour.
Uh-oh.
Binge drinking. Okay. Right. Then I proceeded to just slam beers all morning long.
Right.
And I think over the course of the morning I had like 10 or 11 beers.
Yeah, that's not bad,
dude. I
was absolutely hammered.
Hammered. I couldn't walk out of the studio. I had to literally be like my arms over the shoulders of two people as they like escorted me down to like a the locker room that we had downstairs. And they just left me in a heap and I passed out for like 4 hours. They measured my blood alcohol content at the end of the show. I was a 0.15. And they said if they had measured me like another hour from there, I'd have been a 0.18.
Ooh.
0.10 is...
0.08.
0.08 is what?
Legally inebriated or
right.
intoxicated.
I was 0.15 on the fast track to a 1.8.
I'm drunk.
Hammered.
Yeah. Where does that put you on the Richter scale?
That is
hammered.
Like,
that's like cracks in the foundation right there.
Hammered. So, yeah. But... it was good radio. We had guests on, and I'm like, I'm asking long rambling questions. I was so belligerent, and
I wonder if that is somewhere, Johnny.
It's got to be somewhere.
Where if we had like one of them questions with Mike,
seriously, just
right.
Anyway, that was God. When was that? That was St. Patrick's Day. 1999, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Toto. 99, woo. I can't drink anymore.
Instead of 99 Luft Balloons, right. I had like 99 beers on the wall. Okay, coming up, what is trending? And boy, as an Avalanche fan, watching the absolute meltdown that is the St. Louis Blues has got to warm your heart. Details next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
If you're an Avalanche fan, you have been enjoying the absolute meltdown deconstruction of the St. Louis Blues. And it reached its pinnacle the other night when Jordan Binnington, who is just a clown. Remember the guy threw the water bottle, all that? Just a clown. A guy who isn't that good of a goaltender, but just continues to put himself front and center. The other night, as they got pounded by Minnesota, Binnington lost his mind.
Binnington coming after him. Hartman skated through.
Bennington's area and clipped him on the way by in celebration.
And Fleury's over there.
Fleury's come all the way down to drop the gloves. My. But the linesman has a hold of Bennington.
Oh, let him go. Holy jumping.
Marc-Andre Fleury trying to get at him, but the linesman won't let him.
The great thing is that was an ESPN broadcast, so that was Darren Pang.
Yeah.
And Panger's like, let him go. And it's funny because Marc-Andre Fleury was mic'd up during that game. We were going to play the auto. It just wasn't clear enough. But you can go back and find it. And Fleury's like talking to the official, like, let me go, let me go. Come on, let me go, let me go. Let me go. Come on, it'll be great.
And even
said, he goes, the crowd will love it. Come on.
Even Panger, like, let him go. Panger's all about 760 pounds,
right?
By the way. Dude, I love it. Only in hockey. Only in hockey. I'm surprised they didn't let him go. Gotta let that go.
Gotta let him go. Come on, let him go.
Gotta let him drop the gloves.
Besides, 95% of the hockey world out there would love to see Bennington get his ass kicked.
Be awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
Let him go. Let them go. Michael Jordan is set to sell his stake in the Hornets. Boy, that has not worked out, has it?
No. Alex Gibbs always used to tell me Hall of Famers, be like Hall of Fame athletes, usually don't make good executives or coaches because the game was so easy for them.
It's true. That's true. You would think that John Elway, in his position, should have been able to identify a good quarterback, right?
Yeah, just never really.
But then when you think about it, could John explain why he was so great? Probably not, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It just is interesting. He always said, Alex always had that theory. We discussed it many times. Just about what makes a good coach or why a lot of players can't transition to being coaches. Not only the time, but just as, like, just do this.
Right, do it. Why can't you see this?
Yeah, why can't you see
it? Why can't you see it? I see it. Why can't you see it?
Right.
Well, you're freaking Michael Jordan. You're Magic Johnson trying to coach. You're whatever, yeah.
I don't know. It's just interesting. I'm sure there's a few exceptions to the rule.
Some. All right, before we tell this story, can you get the music going? Because it's the only time this year you're going to hear it. This stinks.
I know.
Not this, but the story stinks.
Yeah, tore his patella tendon.
Edwin Diaz, the closer for the Mets, after celebrating with his team at the World Baseball Classic, busted his knee.
Dude, that, you think about it. What they've done, they went out and got Scherzer last year. Then they put Verlander in. Verlander's been lights out in spring training, too. He's been great. And you've got, that's automatic. You go Scherzer, Verlander, there's two wins during the course of the week in your five-man rotation. And Diaz closing games? Come on now. That hurts.
Interesting article written by Andrew Mason at DenverSports.com. He suggests that the Rockies should try to trade Daniel Bard to the Mets.
Ooh.
Now, we've heard a lot of, hey, his value will never be higher than it is, conversations going on this week when it comes to
Jerry Jeudy. Yeah.
I completely agree with that idea. You're a team going nowhere.
Yeah.
One of your actually most marketable players is Daniel Bard. For a team going nowhere.
Right.
If the Mets come calling, we need a closer. I absolutely think that the Rockies should be looking to trade him.
That's actually a great call. And you know what? I'll take it a step further. You don't trade him for prospects. You don't trade him for players. You trade him for an expansion on the rooftop bar.
Boom.
Make it bigger.
That's a W. Hey, the ballpark's the star.
The Mets are going to build. They're going to add an extension to our rooftop bar. It's going to come twice as big.
W.
That's right, bud.
Got to do one more. Because this is going to be awesome. When the Masters does their champions dinner, Scotty Scheffler is the reigning champion. They get all the champions together. to be a fly in this wall, wall, in that room, because it's going to include the former champions who are now on the LIV Golf Tour.
Right.
Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson,
yes.
Sergio Garcia. Mm-hmm. So Fred Couples, who at this point in his life doesn't give
two hoots.
All right? He was asked about the LIV Golf Tour, and he said he called Phil Mickelson a nutbag and Sergio Garcia a clown.
Right. They should all get, like Scheffler should have, like, all the returning champions have steak, you know, like a just a filet, maybe some, what do you put the crab on top? What is it? What do they call that?
Oscar?
Yeah. Like filet, Oscar, just like great. And the LIV guys get haggis.
Haggis. Oh, what is that? That's the belly of a...
Like a goat or something.
With it. Haggis.
Haggis.
Ask somebody you know who's from Pennsylvania about haggis. Isn't that? I think it's indigenous to, especially Pittsburgh.
Well,
right?
I think it's Irish or Scottish.
But I thought it's like really big in. It's a big Pennsylvania Pittsburgh.
Maybe
thing.
A haggis. Dutch. You know the. What do they call those people that ride around in wagons and horses? That like.
That'd be Amish.
Amish, yes, yeah. like Amish country and.
Haggis. Yeah, it's like lining some intestine of something. Ugh, no. Sounds awesome. That'll do it for what is a trending. Mickelson is a nutbag. Yeah, he does kind of have a nutbag quality to him. Matt Moore is not a nutbag. He is a very sober, serious NBA analyst, and he's going to join us coming up next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Here we go. Nuggets got a win last night. Ended their four-game losing streak. Maybe just cut down some of the panic that was starting to build around this basketball team. Join us now, our Nuggets insider, Matt Moore, courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets. And Matt, let's start right there. Where was / is your level of concern right now with these Nuggets?
I think it's not nothing. I think that you can be concerned without panicking, obviously. I think the best way to kind of put it is the stretch has shown that if the Nuggets are not locked in, if the Nuggets are not in a good place, they're very vulnerable and they're very beatable. I mean, you lose the San Antonio Spurs. It's one thing, you know, losing to the Bulls at home. That was a bad look, but the Bulls have some talent. Okay. The Brooklyn Nets have a lot of good matchups. But like losing to the Spurs, that's worrisome. Thought they would get stomped by Toronto. Toronto was going to be extremely mad about that loss last week in Denver. And then they really didn't play well for three quarters versus the Pistons. Then turn it on, add some momentum. The bench played better. Christian Brown gave them a spark, and they were able to get a win and looked more like themselves in the fourth quarter, so that's encouraging. But when they get away from what they do best, when they're not at what they're capable of, you know, you see some of the weaknesses that this team can be exploited by, and those are things that teams are going to try and do to them in the playoffs. So a lot of this is on them. If they bring it, if they are locked in, if they play to capacity, they're as good as any team in the league. If they don't, they're not just beatable, they're extremely beatable because of their problems on defense.
You know, Michael Malone referenced this. We've talked about it, adversity, and how it's probably better to face adversity now than it is in the playoffs to have a little bit of that adversity. Do you see them using this adversity as kind of a learning curve on what they have to do going forward?
I do. You know, I think the point about adversity is really key here, that you don't want to be a team that everything was easy for in the regular season. And then you get in the playoffs, and the first time that you get hit and you're down, you know, it's 1-1, it's 1-2 in a playoff series. You haven't been in that moment before. You haven't rallied. You have to find that. You know, at the same time, also a lot of this isn't necessarily built off of just their weaknesses. but like the effort just hasn't been there. They looked more like the team that they were the first 2 months of the season. And early in the season, like I would ask the veterans on that team, like, hey, what's going on with the defense? And they would say, yeah, you know, we've got to get on the same page in terms of communication. And we've got to be able to, we've got to really put those things together. We're just not connected. And they got disconnected for a while. We'll see if maybe the Pistons game was an opportunity for them to reconnect. But they've got a tough 2-game set coming up versus the New York teams, the Knicks and the Nets. And as much as the adversity could be a good thing to bring you together, if you, this gets too bad late in the season, I've seen teams fall apart when they first hit this stretch late in the year and never recover. So this is not nothing to be concerned with. It's not just a learning experience. They do have to get through this and rise above it, else it can spiral into something that impacts you in the playoffs.
Visit with Matt Moore with the Action Network. Follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball. How do you explain the Nuggets in a 4-game losing streak at the same time the Sixers are winning 6 in a row, that's enough to absolutely flip the MVP odds on its ear to the point where now Nikola Jokic is looking at and looking up at Joel Embiid now as the MVP favorite?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's about the wins and losses. I think this is about the discourse about around the MVP. It's the national TV shows. It's Kendrick Perkins and some of the comments that he's made on those shows, basically poisoning the well. There's kind of been this movement, I think, from some of the national media to essentially just be like, we have to come up with a reason why Jokic can't win it. Like, he can't win 3 in a row. And to be truth be told, as much as there's this idea that the media loves Jokic because they gave him 2, they were resistant the first 2 times. He wasn't the favorite coming in. He was a long favorite. He didn't turn into the favorite until midseason. There's a lot of resistance. They wanted any reason not to vote for him. And I think that the combination of those comments and this losing stretch has given them that excuse for him not to win the award this year.
Yeah, you know, I always say that be careful what you wish for when it comes to, you know, the national scrutiny and the national attention. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden all that national attention was focused on the Nuggets, was focused on Jokic, was focused on the MVP talk with Kendrick Perkins and going back and forth and all that stuff with J.J. Redick. And all of a sudden the Nuggets haven't responded very well. Do you think there's a correlation between the way they've played recently and all the national attention that they have received?
It's a great point, Mark. I mean, it's absolutely on point. For a team that says, like, we don't pay attention to any of that noise, like, Jokic admitted to Mike Singer of the Denver Post, the beat writer, that, you know, he does listen to these things. But this is something that he's paid attention to, that he's, you know, dismayed by it. For him, it's, I never asked for any of this. You know, I genuinely don't believe Jokic wants to win this third one. I don't think that's something that he wants. Now, I'm not saying he tanked his performance accordingly, but I think they really got to him. And basketball in the NBA, and the regular season in particular with so many games, is about rhythm and spark and what kind of mental space that you're in. And it does seem like that caught up with him, as well as, you know, a combination of factors, and getting lax after the Memphis win, which essentially got them the 1 seed. And all these other things. Jamal, I think, is really banged up. All the guys are banged up, but everybody around the league is. I do think that a lot of the scrutiny kind of changed the vibe around the team, and it's on them to block all that out and just get back to basketball.
Last one for you, Matt. The moves to acquire Thomas Bryant and Reggie Jackson, are those feeling like busts right now?
I think Reggie Jackson, for sure. You know, the fit wasn't great to begin with. Reggie's just not Reggie's a tough player. He works in some places and really does it in others. And the lineups that were used with him and Jamal, and it's not a good combo. They're 3-guard lineups with Bruce Brown. Bruce is not a wing. He's a guard. And so those combos have really struggled. You know, Thomas Bryant, I still think, can be productive. I mean, he hasn't been able to find opportunities because they haven't been able to figure out ways to get him the ball. They're really kind of, I think, with Thomas Bryant reaping the problem that's been going on. The bench doesn't have an offensive identity. They don't know, like, they don't have any sort of set system that they're trying to run. And without that continuity or any sort of structure, it's hard for him to find touches on the offensive end. And that's where his value is, not on the defensive end. So I don't think that the Bryant signing looks great. Trade looks great right now, but I think there's an opportunity for that to look better. The Reggie Jackson move, I'm not sure how that one's going to work out.
What do you think?
What do you think, Matt, about Christian Brown? It certainly looks like they're working him in to be a, you know, as they shorten their bench to seven or eight players come playoff time. It certainly looks like they're looking for him to get this experience right now in these last 12 games, the last 14, 15 games that they've played, for him to be a factor come playoff time.
I'd like to see what he looks like as far as minutes go in a game that they really need. You know, he wasn't in the rotation until after they, like I said, won that big Memphis game, but they need him. He just provides a spark for him. He was a big part of the momentum from the bench unit that got them that win yesterday. He makes plays. He does stuff like digs out from under a crowd underneath the basket, comes out with a tough rebound, and gets the ball ahead. He hit a big three yesterday. Comes up with big defensive plays. He's one of the best defenders on the team, and they need that. And so I think he's got to be part of the rotation. As much as it may be scary for Michael Malone to be have a rookie in there in those situations, Christian Brown's shown the poise and control to be trusted in those situations. I do think he's part of the playoff rotation going forward.
All right, Matt, great stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Moore, our Nuggets insider, joining us courtesy of Michelob Ultra, an official beer sponsor of the Denver Nuggets, and all our guests appearing on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Again, follow him on Twitter at HP Basketball. So the Nuggets, I guess, kind of quell some of the panic that was starting to build a little bit. Still not completely out of the woods. It was Detroit after all. It will be interesting this weekend. You still got the Knicks. You still got Brooklyn, who's a much better, more locked in, hungrier team. Still got Philly. Milwaukee coming in here.
Yeah.
So, you know, still a lot more to see. Meanwhile, the Avalanche. I told you not to worry about the Avalanche. Did I tell you don't worry about the Avs? Check out these numbers, Mark.
Okay.
Avalanche so far 3-0 on this road trip. They've won four straight games. They're 11-3-1 in their last 15. Going back to January 14th, so we're talking about a good, solid two-month span. 27 games, 2 months, good sample size, yeah. Right? Avalanche during that time are 19-5-3. Only Carolina has a better record in the NHL since January 14th. Second best team in the NHL for the last 2 months, best team in the West last 2 months.
How can you be three? How can you have three ties? Don't you win or lose in the shootout?
If you're 19-5-3, the three is overtime or shootout losses.
It's a loss.
Here we go.
Did you win it or did you lose it?
No, but you lost
it. 2 points or 1 point?
It's 1 point. So those reflect the 1 point losses. The three.
Losses. 1 point losses. Why is it listed as a tie?
It's not listed as a tie. They're no longer ties. There are no ties.
5-3?
Yeah, that used to...
How do they
used to be a tie, the 19-5-3. Like if in the NFL you're 9-7-1, that was right. A tie. In the NHL, that last number is more of a shootout or overtime loss.
Now we divvy up the losses. We clarify.
There are different kinds of losses, yes.
Right.
So there are losses that are losses that you don't get any points.
Basically, your certificate of participation loss.
Yes. But you get a point for it.
Boy, those points
matter.
Don't let me find out hockey's turned soft. Don't let me find that out.
Oh, you ready for this?
Yeah.
So one of the major junior leagues, I think it's the Quebec Major Junior League.
That's kind of like jumbo shrimp. Major junior?
Yes.
It's an oxymoron, right?
Major junior? They're talking about eliminating fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminating it.
Can't have the kids fight. It's only good when mommy and daddy fights, not the kids.
Yeah, but you know that it's going that direction, you know.
Oh,
fighting is way, way down.
I know.
And the pacifists out there pushing for it, like it. Although it's weird. Some of the same people who are like, yeah, fighting's past its prime. You don't need it anymore. It's dumb. Are the same people who love it when Nathan MacKinnon looks like he wants to get into a fight. It's great when Nathan MacKinnon mixes it up. It's awesome. No. How in one breath can you say you want to outlaw fighting, but then say it's great when Nathan MacKinnon wants to fight?
How much of a snarky turd would you have been growing up if you knew that there were no consequences for being a smartass, right? Like, there used to be certain lines you didn't cross because right. you knew you might get popped in the nose.
Right. I hope that fighting never gets outlawed in hockey. There is a place for it. Now, I don't like the manufactured fights.
Correct.
Where I skate up to you during a face-off, and I lean over, mm-hmm. and I say, "Hey, yo, Stink.
Let's drop
the my boys are a little flat tonight. I got to get them a spark. Yeah. What do you say we dance?" You know, those stage fights are the ones I can't stand.
Right.
But if it's just you and me competing against each other, mm-hmm. and we're going after each other, and it's intense, and it boils over to the point where we drop gloves and throw hands, mm-hmm. I'd never want to see that taken out of the game. Never.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, again, the pacifists out there, oh, there's no need for fighting. All I know is this. All I know is this. In all the years of being a hockey fan and covering untold number of hockey games, I have never, ever, ever, ever been at a hockey game where when two guys square off, everybody just still stays sitting on their hands.
No.
Never. It can be the dullest, dumbest, most boring game ever played, but at the mere possibility of two guys dropping their gloves, it's like a surge of electricity goes through that building.
You heard it last night between Binnington and Marc-Andre Fleury. Like, as soon as Andre Fleury was skating across the ice and he was dropping the gloves and the official was holding him back, the crowd was going crazy. They wanted to see what's his name, Binnington? They wanted to see him get his ass kicked.
Right. Fighting's, I have no problem with fighting. And I'll tell you another thing. I've never been at a hockey game where a fight breaks out and fans sit there and go, "Egads, I am so disgusted by this," and that they turn their backs away to the action. It's like a form of protest. Never seen that either.
Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the cool things about hockey, by the way. I love it when people drop the gloves.
I know,
I think
right.
It's awesome.
As long as it's legit. As long as it's a legitimate fight. Not something that's staged just to get the boys going.
Back in the day, was it Scott Parker?
Oh, yeah.
Avs?
Yeah.
I remember shaking that dude's hands. They were like a couple of big pork chops.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, dude, I would not want to go knuckles with that dude.
And I'd feel bad. Like, I feel bad for these guys whose only role was to fight.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, but that's the thing. A lot of times they had to fight under those phony pretenses.
I don't feel bad for them. That's what they did.
It got them a spot in the NHL.
They played in the NHL not because they were skilled. They were skilled enough that they played in the NHL because they were bona fide enforcer tough guys. That to me is a badge of honor. Hey, I'm not that talented, but who's your toughest dude? Let's roll.
That
takes a certain amount of yarbles.
This is KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
When your team is in hot water and you need a break from the play-by-play, Bathfitter can install your tub or shower in just one day. And just like a coach, Bathfitter is in your corner offering a watertight, seamless wall. A design consultant will take accurate measurements of your tub or shower and recommend the products that fit your budget. Bathfitter has special financing available with no money down and no interest for up to 5 years. Now that's a game changer. Visit bathfitter.com to book your in-home consultation. Bathfitter, it just fits.